This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hi, and welcome to Everything is Fine, a podcast for women over 40. We are your hosts. I'm Kim France.
And I'm Jen Romolini.
And I'll just let you guys know at the top of the episode, there's a whole lot of construction going on outside my apartment today, so you might hear some noises.
Is this just happening to you every day? Is this just like a new thing? Is this just like a permanent state that there's just construction?
There is. I mean, they're doing work on houses on either side of us.
Oh my God.
So it's not every day. But it's many days.
Oh my God. Oh my God. They're about to flip the building across the street from us. And I know it's going to be, they've been doing construction just to sell it. And I know that it's going to be, I just know that whoever comes in is going to, because it hasn't been renovated since the 80s. Like, and so I just know it's going to be a ton of shit.
They're going to do a whole thing.
Really nothing worse than like a saw.
No, I know. Because I hear the saw frequently. It's a distasteful sound. But we should talk about how this is our special summer episode.
That's what this is. This is not a construction episode.
We faked you out.
It's July 3rd, I think, when this comes out, and it's our special summer episode. We solicited questions.
Solicited questions.
Thank you. Whew, brain. We asked for some questions. We have a bunch, and I actually have some good tips, I realize. I'm pretty good at summer shit.
Good. I have some good tips.
All right. So We're going to start with these questions. So here we go. Happy summer, everybody. Okay.
Yeah, happy summer.
Okay. Good summer reads. Lately, the New York Times paperback bestseller list has made my skin crawl. I guess I didn't have to include that part, but okay, good summer reads.
Okay. So I think a perfect idea for a summer read is an oral history.
Ooh.
Because they're little bite-sized nuggets, and it's just the easiest thing to read and also often really juicy and gossipy and fun. So the ones I'm going to recommend are the classic Edie, the one about Edie Sedgwick, Edie, An American Biography. Then I Want My MTV, which is a history of MTV, obviously, by Craig Marks and Rob Tannenbaum. And Please Kill Me, which is the uncensored oral history of punk, which came out quite a while ago, but is great. So those are my big ones. And then I also, you know, not everybody shares this enthusiasm, but I can read a really good book about the royals.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And Tina Brown has written two excellent books about the royals, the Diana Chronicles, which came out a while ago, and the Palace Papers that came out more recently and deals with Harry and Megxit and all of that stuff. And they're both, she's just so smart that you don't feel like you're reading something stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have things like that, but the thing that I did a couple of years ago, I had a couple of weeks off and I was staying with family, but I was staying by the beach and I just wanted to sort of block out the world. And I went through a bunch of Patricia Highsmith books, which was really, really fun. Patricia Highsmith is amazing. And then equally, I went through another summer, a couple of Agatha Christie books.
Mysteries.
Like just, yes, just like getting into some mysteries or some, you know, just those kinds of books that are not the things I normally read and don't feel like for me any kind of homework. Anything that feels like something I could potentially use in my own work always feels like homework, or like, you know, is it whatever. It's just like a writer that I'm like, oh, is this how do I stand up to this writer? But I don't feel like that when I'm reading like mystery or, you know, Patricia Highsmith, or, you know, it's just I don't feel that way.
Okay, awesome. Should we go to our next question?
Yeah, let's go to the next question. Okay, go ahead.
Any summer bucket list items? I need inspo.
I mean, when I'm on the East Coast, there's a million of them. When I'm on the West Coast, it's like, what season? Who even cares? You know, it's like, it's all just blending into one fucking thing. But when I'm on the East Coast, it's a lobster roll for sure. A good lobster roll eaten outside, preferably at a crummy picnic table, preferably staring at the sea. A visit to the Jersey Shore boardwalks. I really want to have like one evening on a good Wildwood pier, Maury's Pier, I recommend. Get some curly fries, do a couple rides, definitely. You know, just ocean swimming. If you can, if you get like a really nice ocean day.
You're not, now you swim in the ocean. I'm so terrified of swimming in the ocean.
So I grew up going to the same beach every year. So I understand this particular Cape May beach and I know if it's a good day for swimming in the ocean. You know, it's just, you can, so there's some calm days at the ocean, and Fire Island was like that too. You just have a calm day and you can just swim. The waves are not intimidating. Yeah. The water's pretty clear. There's no, it's not like a jellyfish, like, you know, nightmare. I don't know. What else? I mean, summer's the best. What in the East Coast?
Yeah. I mean, in my summer, I will steam clams.
Yeah.
That will happen. I will have the same lobster roll experience, hopefully. But I'm going to be in Europe for like a big chunk of the summer. So I've been thinking about things that I can do there. And mostly it involves eating.
Yes.
Some like really good eating. Doing some research so that we're not at the same dumb place as everyone else goes.
That's right.
Maybe a little shopping.
Yeah.
A little vacation shopping, which is the funnest kind of shopping, really, because it's so random. And, you know, you run the risk of making the biggest mistakes when you vacation shop, but it's still fun.
I mean, I want a Campari and soda and like a little bowl of like Lay's potato chips. Like I want that sort of outdoor sitting in a cafe experience, and I want to replicate it wherever I am. It's harder to do that here, but that's what I'm always looking for. Maybe a couple olives, you know, just like a sitting in a outdoor, people watching, feeling kind of cute, reading a book, wearing a sundress.
Well, also there's that really nice feeling when you've been on the beach or the bay or at the pool for the day and you're kind of all grubby and you've got chlorine or salt in your hair and you go home and shower and get dressed in something nice and go out and you feel so fresh and clean, and maybe you've gotten a little sun on your face, just a little bit.
Yep. Your face a little swollen. It's like, it's so pretty and like swollen. And a nice glass of like really crisp, like white wine or rosé, like a Chocolina or something. Like that's always a nice, that's a nice thing. And seafood, obviously.
Yep. And I make a nice corn salad.
Oh yeah. Well, you know what else? A really good, for me, a really good tomato sandwich with a sliced tomato on toast with a little mayo like that and salt. That's all I need.
No, the tomatoes in August are the best.
Jersey tomatoes. My dad grows tomatoes. It's amazing.
He does?
Yeah, of course.
That's awesome.
Yeah, my dad grows tomatoes. This could just be a podcast about my dad. My dad grows tomatoes and he goes overnight fishing. He fishes at like 3 a.m. with a bunch of guys. Like he just, cause that's when you can get the best fish. It's just,
I bet
he's an interesting man in his old age. Yeah, I think those are mine. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So let's go to the next. I'm finding my summer office outfits so boring lately. How to add interest without adding layers because summer. My main thing is that like I don't wear a lot of colors, so I try to make accessories colorful, like a colorful belt. You know, instead of buying a shoe in black, like recently, I bought the sandal in red.
Yep, I think that's a good one. I mean, it's also just, you know, like today I'm wearing a white jumpsuit, right? And I have zero, I just threw it on to do camp drop off. Like when I wear this out, I wear a little kerchief around my neck with it. That's also good for neck sweat and sweating generally. You know, I think it is accessories. I think it's like, you know, oh, what's, you know, you have a favorite dress. Maybe it has a boring belt. Change the belt out, you know. Belts are underrated, I think, and you can find excellent ones, like including you can get like old Gucci belts on eBay for not that much. I think belts, I think colorful shoes, I think, you know, trying a proportion you've never tried before. We're in a very good midlife body stage for fashion because all of these beautiful like linen button downs are oversized right now. Like they're really oversized. Mm-hmm. So you could wear them with a more tapered pant underneath them, like a lightweight pant underneath them. And that's really nice. I think you could just play with things you've never played with before. There's a lot of really good long skirts right now. There's a lot of good, I've been seeing like a lot of good length and a lot of good volume. Mm-hmm. If like you're in a place where you like either are not loving like having things be form fitting, because whatever, for whatever reason, a comfort reason, a body reason, whatever, I think there's a lot of shapes right now that are out and easy to buy. I mean, not that I necessarily care about trends, but that just means it's easy to buy clothes that are really good for where I think I'm at right now, which is I don't really want to be having like totally things that are totally tight on my body.
Well, who does in the summer, you know? It's the grossest.
Well, when I was young, it was just like a tank top, no bra, and a tight skirt, and who gave a shit, and flip-flops. Like, you know, so that's a different animal. But now I'm just like voluminous.
Yeah. Yes. I've been thinking about it because I'm trying to get packed for the trip.
Yes.
And I am haunted by something that one of my readers said to me, because I was talking on Girls of a Certain Age about packing. And she was like, my advice is don't pack anything that would kill you to lose. My husband lost a hand-knit sweater that his mother knit, and she had recently died. So I'm thinking about this because we're taking several short flights within Europe, and I just feel like something could happen to our suitcases. And so I'm trying to bring clothes I like, but no clothes I love.
Oh, come on. This is an impossible puzzle. You can't.
I know.
If you lose them, you lose them. You'll replace them with something else. You have to buy clothes. You have to bring clothes you love. You have to.
Yeah, you're right. Like the dress I'm wearing today, I would be miserable if this something happened to this dress, but maybe I should just bring it anyway.
If you love wearing it, you're going to be away for a while. Like that's the thing. You're going to be away for like 3 weeks. If you're just bringing like the B list clothes,
I'm going to be bummed out and I'm going to end up buying shit.
You're going to wind up buying so much shit and then you're going to bring it home and be like, I don't even like this.
No, this was vacation clothes.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. That's my opinion. Okay. This is my favorite question. Best hacks for carry-on only. I will do anything to have a carry-on only if possible. If I'm going away for a month, then that seems ridiculous, especially when I went to Iceland when I needed like snow gear.
Heavy layers. My one packing tip that works for a carry-on, or if you're just trying to minimize the number of things you're going to bring, is to have a really tight color palette.
Yep.
Have all the clothes go with all the other clothes. You know, you can do the bright accessories, the bright shoes, like we were talking about, but just have like garanimals. Remember garanimals?
Yes.
Just like everything goes with everything else. Everything's the perfect piece of the puzzle. Like that's my big one.
I think that you have to. And once I started doing this, this changed my life. I think you need to spend however long it takes you, an afternoon, a couple of hours trying on everything. Everything should be tried on. You should have put out all the clothes you're thinking about bringing on your bed, and you should see how they work together. Does this jacket go with all of these outfits, or am I going to have like a, oh, this actually cuts off in a weird place with this dress, you know?
Yeah.
So If you're bringing, you should not bring more than one like heavier, slightly heavier jacket. I usually bring a nice denim jacket that I could wear almost anywhere, right? So if you're bringing a jacket, it should go with everything. So you need to make sure of that. You should be trying out the shoes with everything. Like everything should just be tried on. And then depending on the amount of days you have, you should have with that configuration of clothes that many outfits, right? And they should be they should make sense. So you that's a calculation you can make. And if that winds up being a list, it's a list. If it's, you know, whatever it is that you wind up like mapping it out, then I think you need I love having a compression suitcase. I love the away bag. Like I know that everybody has that bag, but that bag has been three sizes, that bag stuff. And I have sat on it and zipped it and it has just compressed down to nothing.
You have the away carry-on?
I do. I have the away carry-on and I love it.
I have the away carry-on and then I also have the away larger one.
So do I. I have both. I have both.
They're good. They're good. Occasionally I wish I'd gotten, they didn't make the flexible one that gets a little bigger when I bought it. Occasionally wish I had that, but no, the away suitcase, I know the CEO of that company was supposed to be awful.
What CEO of any company is not awful? I mean, I can't judge it from that, but I mean, and not awful in like there is much worse. I mean, I think it was like a terrible, like, you know, girl boss nightmare, but, so I think a compression suitcase or like a sort of like, you know, packing cubes that have the same quality. I roll my clothes up.
Me too.
That also prevents wrinkles. That helps.
And also, I will just say, for me, the packing cubes are non-negotiable.
Yeah, I don't always, but I do. And then the thing is, because at the end of the trip, I'm like, I don't care. Now I'm an animal. Now I'm like a raccoon. Like, I don't give a fuck. But another thing to consider, though, with the packing cubes and why they're useful is if you're moving several locations, the neater your pack is, the easier it's going to be to like, okay, now we're doing this again, right?
Yeah. And I'm doing that an awful lot on this trip.
You really are. What else? What other tricks in terms of carry on? I mean, just don't bring as much shit. It's like, somebody said, there's a question in here. How do you get down to three pairs of shoes? There's no way you need more than three pair of shoes.
No, it's really, I'm bringing sneakers, Birkenstocks, and a pair of pretty, but still walkable sandals. And that's it.
That is perfect. I do the same. I bring Vans because I want the ease of slipping on and off. And my Vans have orthotic, so I could walk in them. But I bring Vans because I want them in airports and they're just easy. And then I bring either a Birkenstock or like what I'm really into right now are Tevas or Tevas. I still don't know how you pronounce that.
I think it's Teva, is it not?
I think it's Teva, but then I've heard some hippies say Teva, so I don't know.
It's like faux and pho.
It is. It's just, you know, it could be any, it's like LaCroix and LaCroix. It could be anything.
Lauren and Loren.
That's right. So let's go into this. So that's how you have a carry-on only. You have to try everything on and then you have to edit and you just need as many outfits as you're going to be there. That's it. It's a science. It's very simple.
I think it's also very important to accept if you are the type of person who wears the same thing over and over again, try to identify what those same things are and only pack them. And I also recently discovered travel packets of Tide.
Oh, yeah.
Which makes the idea that I could wash something in a hotel sink and actually get it clean.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of using hotel soap to try to clean whatever I'm trying to clean.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good trick too. And then, just don't pack anything. Don't pack anything that you don't like wearing. I was talking to a friend who's going to Europe for a month and she just left this week. And she was like, oh, but there's these dresses that I've never worn. And I thought maybe I'll wear them. And this pair of platform shoes that I haven't. And I'm like, if you have not worn these things, you're not
going to wear them on a trip.
It's not like they're going to suddenly appeal to you, you know? Some low-key summer makeup tricks.
I would say finding a nice tinted sunscreen to use instead of foundation.
Agree.
Is a good one. I skip eyeliner a lot in the summer because it's just going to sweat off anyway.
A good waterproof mascara.
Yep, a good waterproof mascara and also a makeup primer.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I use Urban Decay's makeup primer, which is popular. Mm-hmm. You know, it helps. Doesn't, you know, your makeup's still going to sweat off eventually, but
I do think a tinted moisturizer and even like a tinted moisturizer sunblock, because even something that gives you like a little bit of like a tan glow, because you're obviously not going to be, you know, letting your face get tan anymore. That's just like not a possibility. Like I used to, God, I used to get so tan. Mm-hmm. I loved it.
Loved, Me too.
Loved having a tan. Nothing better. have the age spots on my cheeks to prove it. I think that those are my one and two. And then like a not too fussy, like again, my Peri Para lip tint, which I don't know if people are liking, but a lot of people I think bought it. Something that's not going to get too melty in your bag, like a lipstick that's not going to get too melty, because that's a thing too. Then you try to put the lipstick on it, it's all like congealed. So, you know, a lip tint, I think, is good. Those are my best, those are my best tips for that.
Yeah. And I'd say bronzer, like, you know, self tanner bronzer. I like Dr. Gross's.
Oh.
It's not cheap, but it's a nice self tanner.
Yeah. Yeah. That one is nice. There was one that I brought up in a recent episode that I don't remember now. Dr. Hauschka, I think I really liked. That one was pretty good. Okay. Tips for styling shorts.
That's tough. I mean, I'm not against shorts. I know women my age who are just 100% would never wear them. The only thing is I have yet to find a pair of shorts that look good on me now, you know, and I didn't used to be this way and I didn't understand people who were, but now I don't love showing my knees.
Yeah. Yeah, I just don't want to, I don't know. And it's not, you know, my whole shit's holding up fine. It's just that I don't like having my skin out like I used to. I just don't. It's just not the same. But I would say, you know, there's some cute shorts that I still own. It depends how hot it is and how much I feel like wearing, you know. I think a sort of more of a straight leg short, if that makes sense, that goes down to the knee. And that silhouette's nice with like a button down.
Very nice. Yeah.
Yeah. And like a short sleeve button down. I think there's some really cute like linen short sleeve button downs that I really like from Uniqlo right now. Stripes.
And camp shirts.
Yes. And camp shirts. I like that look. But yeah, I mean, shorts. You know, you could style shorts like jeans. It's not, if you find the right fit, it's not that much different. And then, you know, it's always finding the balance on the bottom. I'm just, for me, because I have small feet, I always feel like I need like a bigger shoe on the bottom if everything is like small in the body.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
How little are your feet?
Well, I'm almost 5'9" and my feet are 8.5", which is not, they look small and shit. And I could tell, like, I get like a hoof look and I don't like it.
That's so funny because Andrea Lynette has this thing that she's always like, those shoes give me small foot. I can't wear them. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's not a thing. Small foot isn't a thing. And she's like, it is 100% a thing.
It's 100% a thing. It's 100% a thing. And you have to really be careful of it. Small foot is a thing. It just totally unbalances the entire look. It's like, it looks like a character from Popeye or something. It's not right. Let's take a quick break from some ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
And we're back. Okay. Sunglasses, Rex?
Well, I just did a post. Should I even be talking right now with this so loud?
I mean, you could try.
Okay. I recently did a post on Girls a Certain Age because I do sunglasses around this time every year.
Yes.
And sunglass trends are so atrocious right now.
Yeah.
And they're so expensive and they just don't look like anything. They're either really teeny or they're the wraparounds or they've got like the flat tops that I can't stand. And so I just like went to Ray-Ban and looked for sunglasses on the Ray-Ban site because Ray-Ban sunglasses are kind of classic and timeless and great.
Yeah, I agree. I have Ray-Bans down on my list. Warby Parker. Look, at this point, I'm not like doing what I used to do, which is switching out sunglasses, like, you know, with the wind, like just switching them out every, you know, every season because I want something new and hip looking. Like sunglass trends, I feel like are not like they're like a young person's game. Like the really trendy sunglasses, like right now, I think they're really like thin and tinted, different colors, like back, like the way they were in the 90s. I don't want that. So I think Warby Parker, like I'm willing to spend if I'm spending for sunglasses, which I just get my regular glasses tinted. That's my trick. But if I'm going to spend, I'll go to Warby Parker. I've gotten some good sunglasses at Madewell, honestly, and J. Crew. Yep. And Ray-Bans.
And Caddis. Caddis, I believe, offers sunglasses. I think they have great frames and they're very like age. Their message of that company is very cool and they're very aging positive in a way that doesn't feel like they're just doing it for marketing, even if they are.
I think you're right. Also, there's sort of a run of asks for recommendations here. Alternatives to wearing shorts is one question.
Just anything but shorts, really. I mean, I, you know, and I'm not against shorts. If I could find a pair of shorts that looked good on me, I would 100% wear them. But, you know, I think I am a big fan of the shirt dress, especially in the summer, because you can get yourself a cotton shirt dress. The shape is like reasonably flattering. It's not too diaphanous probably, but diaphanous enough that you feel a little bit of breeziness.
You know, yeah, I think... if you're not going to wear shorts, which you don't have to, there's lots of all there's, you know, linen is your friend. Like don't sleep on linen.
Yeah.
And I think there are some really amazing linen dresses. A shirt dress does not look great on me. I really need something that gives me a waist. I found that's the old Andrea Linette. It's not to bring up Andrea, but we are talking about fashion today. It's the old Andrea Linette trick of search sites for 100% cotton. And I have found the best things on H&M and Mango. And the thing is, and I've said this before, like, obviously we don't want to be like, you know, supporting fast fashion. But if you want to buy a $35 dress at H&M that you're going to wear for 5 years, which I do, then I consider that to be okay. It's more if you consider those clothes disposable. But if you're looking at Target, if you're looking at Mango, if you're looking at H&M, if you put in 100% cotton, there's also some good stuff at Quince. I really like Virginia Soul Smith just posted something on Instagram about the big dress, just that really boxy big dress. I like that look too. So I think, jumpsuits, linen, good pair of linen pants, a long skirt, a lot of good long skirts this year.
Yep. I agree.
Oh, summer hats. I like a straw visor.
That's good thinking. I bought a straw visor that was a little too small for my head.
Okay.
So
all right.
I never wear it. I like a visor. I like a bucket hat.
Yeah. You look good in a bucket hat.
A bucket hat with just a slightly wider than usual brim so that you're really protecting your face.
Yep. I like a big hat, like I talked about. What was it? Wetworks that I talked about a couple of weeks ago. But also J. Crew has had this same straw hat for years, and it's packable.
Yeah.
It just flattens down, and I like that a lot too. Because I have hats that you travel with them, you try to pack them, it's a nightmare. But yeah, straw is a good straw hat. It's the best, and it can also pull the look totally together.
Yes, it can. And it's a good thing to do when your hair is bad.
Yes. Which
throw on a hat.
Which brings us to hair suggestions for hot weather outside of, quote, a bun.
God, I wish I knew.
I've got one. I think that right now we are in a golden age of claw hair clips. I have bought I have a dozen of them, and you could get them anywhere. You get them on Amazon. You get them from J. Crew. You get them from Target. You get them from Lisa Says Ga has a bunch of them, and they have really cool different styles of them. And I've been really playing with pulling my hair up into almost not a beehive, but so it's kind of a little more on top of my head.
It looks
more like a top knot, but you can also bring it down low. So it's like a French twist. I really think that the claw hair clip is really great for the summer. I've been using them nonstop. So, but you're not supposed to drive with them because apparently they don't break. And if you fell back on your head, it would really hurt.
Ow.
I know. I read this and it's ruined it. I'm still driving with them, but I'm every time I'm driving, I'm oh my God, this murder clip is just.
Well, I've also read that you're not supposed to wear pantyhose or tights, or I would imagine leggings on airplanes because they're synthetic and they'll just melt on you if there's a fire.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Things I don't want to know. It's just,
but if there's a fire,
Yeah, if there's a fire, you're.
That's the last of your worries.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Face moisturizer, sunscreens.
Okay. My moisturizer currently is the light version of Welita's Skin Food.
Okay.
Which I've been happy with. The heavy version, I think the regular version would be way too much for my skin, but the light version is nice and it absorbs. And my sunscreens are usually Supergoop, Unseen Sunscreen.
Yeah, I love Supergoop. So I've been really exploring the lands of French pharmacy products, really mm-hmm. into trying a bunch of different things. And I have a couple of, it's up on our Patreon. I tried a bunch of different moisturizers. I'm constantly shifting up my moisturizer just for fun. But my sunscreen has also been Supergoop, though I've heard really amazing things of that French one, which I'm about to try, the La Roche-Posay, I think it's called.
Yes, I have too.
People love that. And then also they love, I think it's Pipette mineral sunscreen, which, I think it's supposed to go up to 50. I mean, I think you're supposed to have 50. I read somewhere that you're supposed to always use 50 or above. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I also like Ilia's foundation has a sunscreen in it, which I use sometimes. Depends.
Yeah. No, I've been told that you're never supposed to, you can't get lulled into a false sense of security if your makeup has sunscreen because it's not enough.
Mm.
I hate that fact, but it appears to be true.
I just use Supergoop every morning. Like, I have my nighttime skincare routine, but then in the morning, I just put sunscreen on every morning, like before I even walk the dog, because I just don't. I got a bad sunburn a couple of years ago, and like recently on my face, and it was just not cute in the way that it was when I, like, it was not, it was obviously like a trauma to my skin in a way that it was not, you know, even 10 years ago. So I just, now I just put on sunscreen, like basically after I brush my teeth.
Right. I don't do it nearly enough.
I just don't, I just, I don't want, I'm just like, you know, it just looks gross. It's just like, it looks gross. I like peeled. It was gross. Okay. This listener, I want to hear more about the beaks.
Okay. The beaks, the beak sandals, B-E-E-K, which I purchased and showed, are desperately comfortable, really like walking on a cloud, very cushy. However, they have not made the cut for Europe.
Wow.
And here is why, because they're slides.
Yeah.
And I just don't think, if these are the sandals I think I'm going to do a lot of walking in, it's just not going to work if it's slides.
No, especially that kind of platform slide. I actually brought a pair of beaks flat, but they had arch support in them. I brought a pair of beaks to Europe a couple of years ago, a pair of white slides, but they were so comfortable and they were flat and they didn't have that risk of flipping back up on your foot.
Yeah.
Which is the problem with a slide. But so they're comfortable though, and you like them.
Super comfortable. Super, super comfortable. And, you know, they come in a ton of good colors and they seem to always be offering something off.
Okay. Okay.
Or frequently.
Yeah, no, I got mine on sale for sure. Okay. An outfit that can look chic after being stuffed in a bag.
I'm gonna say something silk.
Ooh.
Something silk. The three of the dresses I'm bringing to Europe are silk. They're all, you're making a face, so I can tell you think this is kind of gross, but they're all like diaphanous.
Yes.
And they're all very cool. Like, I've worn them all through many summers.
All right.
So, and silk just doesn't hold a wrinkle the way that cotton holds a wrinkle.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm bringing cotton button down shirts to wear with my pants on the days I wear pants. I'm not bringing silk shirts because that sounds a little heavy.
Yeah.
But the silk, if you can find a good diaphanous silk item or silk item, depending on the time of year of any kind, like it just, it's much easier to get the wrinkles out.
Well, it depends on the silk, right? Like it depends on, I mean, I've had good luck. It really, you know, when you know that there are things that just don't wrinkle for whatever reason, they just don't, you can roll them up. They're just like, I have dresses that are cotton that just don't wrinkle, or like I have a couple of good Ace and Jig, which I've had, you know, I've had mixed feelings about Ace and Jig, but like sometimes the cotton is rendered in such a way that it just doesn't wrinkle. It's kind of puckered, or the pattern of it doesn't show the wrinkle. Like my Ace and Jig, it's like an ivory colored sundress with like yellow and brown stripes. It's very pretty and I like it very much. And it's super comfortable. It's breezy. And whatever that material is, it doesn't show wrinkles. So I think that it's obviously not linen, because linen is going to really wrinkle up. But, you know, that also the wrinkles come out really fast. Because the other thing is if you bring a little empty spray bottle and you put water in it even, and you spray your clothes in the night, in the morning, the wrinkles are gone.
There's also a product I love that I will be bringing with me called Downy Wrinkle Release.
Yes.
You spray it on things and I'm sure water does a lot of the same stuff, but it's kind of magic.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of like your summer clothes are not that like tight cotton that's just really holding the wrinkle. A lot of your summer clothes, just spraying them with something wet is releasing all the wrinkles for you. So, I mean, I think dresses. I bought a dress last year that was made out of, maybe it was like recycled. It felt silky, but it was like made out of recycled something. And it was a black shirt dress and with a sort of built-in belt. And I wore it everywhere to everything. And it was super comfortable.
I think people in general need to be less afraid of synthetics.
I agree. I agree.
You know, I mean, I think, you know, synthetics can feel gross, but like polyester can feel really nice and luxurious and like silk. It just depends. You've got to, it makes shopping online hard because you've got to really feel it to know. Yep.
And jersey, like some jersey, you know, jersey really, you know, it really all depends on the dress, but like you'll know. You know when you own this piece, like that it's not that it's going to be okay because it's been in the rotation of your life. You like you've left it in the dryer for too long or whatever it is, and you're like, oh shit, that will be bad. Just don't bring pain in the ass clothes with you. That's like the whole.
No, it's so true.
That's the whole thing. Okay. Okay. So you're walking shoes for vacation. I think we've already covered this. So wait, which shoes are you bringing? You're not bringing the Beaks. You're bringing sneakers. Birkenstocks. And what's the third sandal you're bringing?
A very low wedge sandal from Maria Cornejo.
Nice.
Like I've practiced walking in it. I can walk here. I can walk there. I can walk back. I can walk forth.
Perfect.
You know, I know that's the pair I'll end up wearing the least. I know the sneakers and the Birkenstocks are going to be in the higher rotation.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, and I would say depending on the trip, I usually add a pair of flip-flops just because if showers are gross or if, you know, whatever, if I'm going to somehow I'm going to the water for some reason. And I always, even if the trip does not seem like it's going to need a bathing suit, which by the way, nobody asked us about swimsuits, not once.
I know, it's crazy.
Well, we got one, but we'll talk about that in a second. But even if the trip does not seem like I'm going to need a swimsuit, I always pack a swimsuit, really no matter what the trip, because sometimes the hotel has a situation where I want to swim. Like you just never know. Yeah. And it's better to just have one because that is not a thing you can just buy.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
It's way too complicated. Like, so if you have a bathing suit that you like, you should always have that in your bag traveling. This is our packing episode. Maybe someone should hire us.
I know.
No, or not. Okay. Best natural deodorants.
I am one of those people who just cannot let go of antiperspirant. However, I've tried natural deodorants. My quibble with natural deodorants is that they all have a smell.
Okay. Oh, you don't like a smell. Okay.
I don't like a smell. I only use unscented antiperspirant.
Okay.
If I could find and maybe it exists, a really good deodorant that also doesn't have a smell, I'd be a very happy person. But deodorant works, from what I understand, by like covering up. So it always has some kind of smell.
I don't mind the smell of deodorant. Like I like Weleda has a, I don't think that's how you pronounce that either, but Weleda has a spray deodorant and like a little roll-on that I use and I like. Also, there's something Charlotte was having an issue because they had like Tom's natural deodorant and it was like giving them a rash. So I switched them out to Lume, which really seems to be good. And that also is unscented and it is an invisible cream stick. I think that's pretty good. Hmm. So yeah, I think those, and then I don't mind. I'm an old hippie. Like I don't mind if my pits can smell like patchouli and I don't give a crap. Like but I think Weleda makes pretty good ones and Lume seems to make this seems to have solved our sensitive skin problem with the deodorant. And there's several different formulations. Like you can do a cream, you could do a stick. So Lume might be the one and it's pretty easy to get. Okay. Okay. The best little bag to put inside the big bag. We already did a great bag for carry-ons. The best little bag to put inside the big bag. Do you put a bag inside the big bag?
I have little bags that I put inside my handbag.
Okay.
I use these old Comme des Garçons patches I have. And I put like cough drops and lip balm and, you know, aspirin and stuff like that in them. So it's not all like at the bottom of my bag.
Yep.
I find that to be very helpful.
I don't know what this question is, but when I pack, I pack the away bag. I have like a Herschel backpack. I know a lot of people like to have a shoulder bag and then strap it to their rolly, but I like to have a backpack. And then I pack in my main bag a crossbody. I always have a crossbody with me because I want a little everyday bag with me. I pack a fanny pack. And I usually get them from, what is the place that has the shopping bags that I'm forgetting right now?
Bagu.
Bagu. Bagu has good fanny packs because sometimes I just want a fanny pack. And then I also pack like a nylon duffel that is like nothing, flat. Because if at the end of this trip I've either bought stuff or I don't feel like packing as tightly as I started, then I just have an additional bag that just is like a pretty big duffel that I can check. You know? Yeah.
You know what we did that I'm very excited about, although apparently travel is so horrible right now that it might not make much difference. We finally got TSA Pre.
Oh, TSA Pre is the best. Except not for international. Hmm. It doesn't work in international, but it's the best.
TSA Pre doesn't work if you're flying internationally?
Well, it will work in the American airport. It'll work at the U.S. airport.
Right. Oh, yeah, of course, but not the other way
around. You need global entry, but still global entry only works in some countries, and they really don't give a shit. Like, I paid for global entry, and it was like not – they were like, yeah, who cares?
Whatever.
Exactly.
That's hilarious.
But TSA Pre, I've had TSA Pre for years. It's – there's no – once you stop taking your shoes off, you can't go back. Like, it's just
once you stop taking your laptop out of your bag.
No, it's ridiculous. And it's just, it cuts down the time so much. Although I have noticed, like, particularly in places like New York, there's now so many people who have TSA Pre that it almost doesn't even matter.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing is you move through security faster.
You do.
Even if the line is long, because you're not taking off your shoes and you're not taking your laptop out of.
That's right. And self-tanner, somebody wants to know about. What do you use body? Do you have a body self-tanner you like?
I like Dr. Gross's.
Okay.
Dr. Dennis Gross, Alpha Beta Glow Pad self-tanner for face. And then they make one for the body too.
I still use Jergens on my legs, or if I'm getting fancy, if it's a fancy day, I use, it's called This Works. This Works Perfect Leg Skin Miracle. And it's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's expensive though. It's like $50 for not very much, but it does. It's got a nice texture to it, and I don't mind the smell. People don't always like the smell, but it's a pretty good self-tanner. And you're right, we've talked about this before, you have to put it on with gloves.
Yeah.
Or your hands, because you don't want tan palms, nothing worse.
No, nothing worse. You've got to scrub them assiduously.
All right. I'm in the middle of packing for a week for Palm Springs. How do I style myself for extra skin coverage? I'm super fair skinned and burn easily without looking like I'm dressed in a tarp.
I think, I think about how people dress in India, mm-hmm. and they'll wear like cotton pants that are super lightweight. And then they'll wear like a kurta or something that's cotton and also mm-hmm. very lightweight. And like something like, I think I remember reading once, like, they'll wear long sleeves because it's actually so much more comfortable just to not have the sun hitting your skin directly.
Yeah. Yeah.
That always looks like a good way to me. Just find the lightest cotton I possibly can. That,
like I said before, a linen button down is, this is where a linen button down is totally your friend. And I think they look cute unbuttoned on top of things. I also have a very lightweight, like chambray jacket, like super light, super soft cotton. And I bring that with me. It's like a chambray bomber jacket, but I don't even know where I got it years ago. But that is, if it's a lightweight cotton, you're not going to mind. And it's actually going to, if you're not getting burned by the sun, you actually feel better, even if your skin is not exposed, I think. And like I said, there's so many cute, it is the season of the linen button down right now. Like they're everywhere.
It really is true.
Okay. How to dress as chic as the French Swiss shop girl in a crop tee and long skirt I saw close up yesterday while I'm clomping around in my black romper and lug soles like some kind of monster. Oh, short version, how to wear long feminine skirts if you're not 5'8".
Well, I got bad news. And that's that it's really hard to wear a long feminine skirt if you're not 5'8". It just is. There's a brand I love, 6397, and I love their dresses, but they're all for women who are like 6 feet tall and willowy.
Okay.
That is my belief. I think it's tough to pull that off. And I think it's an important thing to recognize. And this poor listener who thinks she looks like a monster, you gotta recognize like what, and maybe she does. It what isn't going to
yes,
work for you?
Yes.
Like, this isn't my body. This isn't my aesthetic. You know, you can fall in love with something. Like, if I fell in love with, you know, the aesthetic of Carolyn Bessette Kennedy, I'd be kind of out of luck.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, yeah. you gotta keep that in mind.
Yeah, I agree. And also a romper and lug sole sounds adorable to me. Like that's a really yes. cute outfit. And yeah, there are just some realities of the body that we kind of don't have any choice about. Like I talked about a couple of weeks ago, I can't wear a denim skirt. Never, ever, will never be able to. It's just my body is not shaped for it. And if you want to wear a skirt, there are lots of good skirt shapes, you know, like Alex Mill has like a really good A-line lightweight skirt mm-hmm. right now. And maybe it's A-line for you, or maybe it's playing with the proportions and it's like a midi skirt or midi skirt. And with like a longer top, like maybe that works, or maybe it's a crop top and that length, like maybe it's not going all the way down. Sometimes it's just about a couple of inches that make everything mm-hmm. different. And maybe you buy that skirt and you get it tailored, like go into the dressing room and pull it up a couple of inches and see.
No, the people I know who always look the best in their clothes are the people who go to tailors regularly.
Yeah.
I never do.
To be like a tailor. It's like the dry cleaner who knows how to put a hem on something, you know? Yep. One thing I've been doing recently is getting pockets put into cheap dresses because I can't stand not having a fucking pocket.
Really?
Yeah. They could do it. It's so easy. It's like $15.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you posted this gorgeous, weirdly like white H&M dress. I don't know if you remember this. It was like, it's got the mm-hmm. ties on the side and around the neck. And I ordered it and it's so good. It's such a good dress, but no pockets. And I just dropped it off to get pockets in it.
Amazing. I wonder if my guys will do that.
I'll do it. They just have to split the side, put some material in it. It's not
a tricky thing.
I mean, then you could kind of see, it's not tricky, but you can see the pockets sometimes, but it's worth it to me because I want a pocket. What are the girls of a certain age wearing in New York City or in LA?
I don't know. What are the girls of a certain age wearing? I mean, it's so, whatever they want.
I agree.
You know, and what works for them increasingly, I mean, to my earlier point, you know, they're dressing for their bodies maybe more than they did before.
I'm this summer wearing a bunch of longer dresses. I'm wearing short sleeve cotton turtlenecks with skirts and these Tevas I bought. Teva. I couldn't believe how good I was just like, ew, Tevas. And I've always been a little bit grossed out by how they look like flip-flop material, like the top of them. But mm-hmm. I got these like really, really good, like they're like a coral color. They have a bigger sole. They don't look like flip-flops at all. And I love them and they're really comfortable. So I'm wearing like sporty Teva sandals with a more feminine things that you wouldn't expect to be worn with Teva sandals. That's what I'm wearing. And I have no idea what other people are wearing.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I saw a mother who looked like she was of a certain age walking with her kid this morning, and she was just wearing a striped tank dress.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked fantastic.
I love summer because it's anything goes. Like I also have a couple of pair of wide leg. I have one pair of like wide leg blue linen pants that I really like. I have a pair of off-white jeans I'm really into, you know, like, I don't know. It can be a fun time to dress. It doesn't have to be a horrible slog.
No, it's really true.
Okay. So here is here is the bathing suit, the one bathing suit question.
Is anyone else still wearing a bikini or do most people switch to a tankini at this age? I have to say, like, if you feel good and want to get in a bikini, get in a fucking bikini. How amazing.
Just do a bikini. Just wear a bikini, wear it, whatever. That's what anybody in Europe is doing. I don't know that I'm going to have that many bathing suit opportunities this summer, which I'm really bummed about. And I would wear, I don't know if I want to have to. The thing is, it's not even about my body. It's that I don't know if I want to have to put that much sunscreen on. Like, at this point, it's just easier. I bought this like $15 an emergency over the winter. I bought this like $15 bathing suit on Amazon. It's black halter and the neck has like a big tie. And then you have to tie it like from the neck through the back and around the waist. It is so fucking sexy. I can't believe how sexy this bathing suit is. And I can't believe how cheap it was. Like, I can't.
Oh my God.
So I have a black like halter bathing suit that I might wear. And I don't know. At this point I'll wear anything. I don't care. Like, I like a short. I think you could just go in with some board shorts and a little board shorts that come up high and like almost like a sports bra top. Like, who gives a shit?
It's hard at the beach or the pool or the bay or wherever you go. It's just hard. You don't have any clothes on.
It's going to be hard no matter what. Yeah.
It's tricky.
You just have to get a good cover up too. I think that's part of the trick. It's just like, all right, well, I have this really beautiful cover up that I like a lot. This caftan. Oh, you have this is another question. You have caftan advice, don't you?
I think Emerson Frey makes the best caftans, especially for summer, because they're made of that lightweight cotton I keep talking about. They're so breezy in a pinch. Yep. They're mostly not so sheer that you couldn't also, you know, wear it to dinner.
Yep. Yep. I think
I really like hers. There's another company that has just started making, I think it's a pretty new company, black owned, called Everyday Ritual, and they make amazing caftans as well. I have one of theirs. They have them at Nordstrom, they have them at Neiman Marcus, and they have their own website.
That's amazing. Well, listen, the rest of these are things we've already answered. So we have just answered every summer question I can imagine. I think that we did it. Is there anything else you would like to add about your packing? What exactly are you bringing before we hang up?
Oh my God.
Tell me.
Oh my God, a few dresses.
Okay.
A few dresses, because I mean, the other thing is I'm going to be in several climates. It's summer, but I'm going to be like, Germany's going to be cold and Spain is going to be really hot.
Yep.
I'm bringing a sweater.
Yep.
Like a cardigan sweater.
Perfect. Like a lightweight sweater. Yep.
I think if I get my color palette down to just like what I want to get it down to, I'm going to bring this sort of goldenrod yellow, nearly low tan jacket I have.
Oh, I know that jacket. That's a good idea.
Yeah. I feel like it'll just perk things up a little. And then a couple pairs of chinos, a pair of jeans, and some shirts.
Okay. All right. All right. When I pack, I usually have one, like I said, one denim jacket, one lightweight sweater that can go across, either that it's like big and oversized and it just looks good thrown on over things with a crew neck or a cardigan. I wear a pair of pants on the plane because I cannot elastic waist pants, but I cannot have my legs out on a plane. I won't. I can't. And I need socks on a plane. I can't have like bare feet and a pair of sandals in a plane. No fucking way. Will not.
Yeah, no. Your feet get too cold.
No. And also just grotesque. Like, if you want to.
Yeah,
you
can't. Yeah. Don't go to the bathroom that way.
No. So always socks and sneakers. And then like, I try to wear the bulkiest things that are going to be in my, you know, and then, four dresses. It's like, you don't need that much. Once you're like in like four dresses, you need a week's worth of clothes basically at all times in your life. No matter the trips are the same. And I bet you're going to find a place to wash your clothes, because you're going to have to wash your clothes.
We're going to have to. And Paul's really going to have to. So.
And a lot of hotels will do it too. It's expensive, but it's so fun to have it done.
Oh, it's so nice. It comes back and it's all folded or hanging.
It's such a good splurge.
One bit of advice that I learned from watching a TikTok made by a flight attendant is that we should never drink coffee in a plane, never drink tea, never drink anything that is made with the water on the plane.
Oh.
Because they don't clean the containers of the waters in that much. It's the same water, I believe, that goes to the toilets.
Oh.
It's just like, so there's really like, you never want to drink a cup of coffee or a cup of tea on it.
Oh, man. Oh, another travel tip. I do bring a water bottle with me. I bring a metal water bottle with me. And then I also will, depending on if I'm traveling with my family or not, I usually bring my own sort of tea cup and a tea kettle, because I like to have tea in the morning and the hotels never have what I want. And I hate hotel mugs. But that's just those are just personal preferences. And then also with toiletries, like people are like, oh, I need all these toiletries. There's so much you can buy. Like you just need the basics. Yeah. You really don't need more than a dop kit worth of toiletries. None of us do.
I know, but I like all my, that's what makes me feel like I'm at home when I'm gone. Like my products.
Well, if that works for you, I mean, I also got one of those like old lady pill boxes because what makes me feel at home is making sure I take all my supplements. And I got one of those old lady pill boxes and it had, it, you know, for each day that I travel, I have all my shit. And I take, oh, and melatonin for jet lag.
I can't take melatonin. The dreams make me crazy. Like you just have crazy dreams on melatonin.
I know, but you only really need it for the first night until you're you got it together.
Okay. Okay. That's fair.
Yeah. You just need it for that first night. You have to stay up that whole day. If you're going to Europe, you need to stay up that whole day. You need to get yourself on the local time as soon as possible. That is the trick.
It's really true. You can't nap.
So wait, are you going to, we'll talk about this offline. All right. thanks for listening to Everything Is Fine. We are your hosts.
I'm Kim Franz.
Oh wait.
No, you fucked it up.
I fucked it up. Well, thanks for listening to Everything Is Fine. We're your hosts. I'm Jen Romolini.
And I'm Kim Franz.
If you like the show, please rate and review it across the platforms. It really makes a difference. It helps people find the show. If you want to support the production of the show, join our Patreon at patreon.com/everythingisfine. We do live events there. We do special bonus episodes there. We blog there. If you want to follow us on social media, we're at EIF Podcast on Instagram. We're on Facebook with a robust and private Facebook group. We're on Twitter. We're on LinkedIn. You can find Kim on her Substack, kimfrance.substack.com. The show is mixed and edited by the great Natalie Rivera, and we'll be back-ish next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.